I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's more about Jesus of Nazareth in the Encyclopedia Britannica than there is on Julius Caesar. I found that out to be an apatheist when I was a skeptic over 40 years ago. But you know something about Jesus? He's still most often misunderstood as a great teacher, as somebody who told a lot of fables, or he was a good storyteller, or he was basically just a good teacher and a good man, not God. But on the Let's Get Real podcast, I'm going to share with you that Jesus clearly identified himself as Yahweh, the God of the Bible, in both word and deed, such that his first century audience wanted to stone him. And the original apostles, well, the original apostles also identified Jesus as God, and the earliest Christians understood Jesus' divine identity and worshiped him as such. Thank you for listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. I'm Rob Lundberg, your host. And thank you for listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. You know, Jesus of Nazareth is the most popular figure in all of human history. And the word Lord, as found in most English Bibles, is equivalent to the Hebrew letters of the Tetragrammaton of YHWH, or Yod, He, Vav, He, also known as the Tetragrammaton, and is usually translated in the English language as either Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, this special name of God gave for himself in the Old Testament, in Exodus 3:14, you know, there are other titles for God, such as Adonai and Elohim, and they both can be used to refer to human rulers or even false gods. And Yahweh, however, is the only word used to refer to the one true God of the Bible. Now, while perhaps less than explicit to the modern reader, Jesus himself clearly claimed to be Yahweh come in human flesh. And here is but a sampling of the ways that Jesus claimed to be God. Perhaps most explicitly, in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said the following. As he was going back and forth with the Pharisees, he said this: "Before Abraham came into existence, I am." And it says that they were picking up stones to stone him. Now, according to Ron Rhodes, both the I am and Yahweh have the same root meaning as the verb to be and can be used interchangeably. Jesus' listeners knew exactly what he was talking about, and they picked up stones to stone him, thus the prescribed punishment for blasphemy. In addition, Jesus claimed to share the glory with the Father. And that is found in John chapter 17 and verse 5. Even though Yahweh clearly says he does not share his glory with anyone in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. So when you take Jesus' titles, he also claimed titles for himself that were reserved for Yahweh alone. And he referred to himself as the Son of Man in Mark 14, verses 61 to 64, which is a title given to the Ancient of Days referring to Yahweh in Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. And he calls himself the first and the last, which is in Revelation 1, verse 17, which is a title for Yahweh in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Now, Jesus also called himself the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11, even though the psalmist calls Yahweh the shepherd in Psalm 23, verse 1. Moreover, Jesus' claim prerogatives that belong to God alone. He forgave sin in Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He declared power over life and death in John chapter 5, verse 21. He accepted worship, something contrary to what the Jehovah's Witnesses reject. And we see that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, and John chapter 20, verse 28. And he commanded the same honor as the Father, John chapter 5, verse 23. In many ways, Jesus clearly claimed to be God. So, before we go even further and wrap this up, what is the testimony that we see about Jesus? Is there early testimony about Jesus? I just gave you some scripture as far as his claims, and I could go further, but what I want to do is I want to bring this in, because next week I'm going to talk about Jesus as being risen from the dead. Do we have non-Christian sources that affirm the New Testament and that they're specifically about Jesus? Now, remember, last week we talked about this, but I want to deal with these points again and deal with how they dovetail with Jesus and the New Testament. And then what I want to do is I want to bring in the testimony from a scholar, a classical scholar and historian named Colin Hemmer, and we can get into that as well. Now, what are these early pieces of testimony? Well, number one, Jesus lived during the time of Tiberius Caesar. We see that Jesus lived a virtuous life, secondly. Thirdly, he was a worker of wonders. He had a brother named James, and many people of the time claimed that he was the Messiah. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified on the eve of the Jewish Passover. During his crucifixion, darkness and an earthquake occurred when he died. Now, do not listen to any scholars that believe that this was apocalyptic literature. This was actually a historical narrative, just along with the rest of it. Number nine, his disciples believed that he rose from the dead, and we'll talk about that next podcast episode. His disciples were even willing to die for their belief. We'll talk about that as well. And number 11, Christianity spread rapidly as far as the Roman Empire, including Rome, and his disciples denied the Roman gods and worshipped Jesus as God. Now, there are some common objections that saying that, you know, history cannot be known, and if that is true, we can't depend on anything that we've heard from history. And then, you know, people who are converted, another objection says that converted people are not objective, and it is true that they are not neutral, but that doesn't mean they can't be objective. And we talked about the early New Testament documents, and those New Testament documents, 25 of the New Testament documents, were quoted by Clement, Ignatius, and Polycarp between 95 and 110 A.D., and most of the 25 books quoted were written before A.D. 70. Otherwise, they would have mentioned the destruction of the temple. And that's something that Jesus actually prophesied in Matthew 24. And if you read Matthew 24 and the Gospel of Matthew there, you can read about that, where he talks about not a single stone being left unturned. You know, when you think about some of this stuff, as early as it is, and as authentic as it is, you'd almost think that Christianity were true. Many New Testament books were composed before A.D. 62. Acts of the Apostles ends with the arrest of Paul, and Clement and others record Paul's execution during the reign of Nero, which ended in A.D. 68, which means that Luke wrote his... before A.D. 68, so it's early, you know, A.D. 62. So, you know, I don't want to rehash last week's show, but I just want to bring this in because this all ties to Jesus and his authenticity. The very fact that he lived during the time of Tiberius Caesar, lived a virtuous life, and, you know, when I say virtuous, you know, he was sinless. You know, that he did miracles. He had a half-brother named James, and he had another half-brother named Jude. You know, I listed some of these things, and I just want to open them up a little bit more. You know, many people claimed him to be the Messiah. You know, if you think about what we know as Palm Sunday, before they went into having the Lord's Supper, he was declared to be Messiah. He's declared one-on-one with people, by people, conversations with people being declared the Messiah. He's believed to be risen from the dead. And, of course, we know that to be the pinnacle or the pillar of the Christian church. And that his disciples were willing to die, including the Apostle Paul going under the sword, being decapitated by Nero's henchmen, because they eyewitnessed a risen Jesus and they were willing to die for what they knew to be true. Folks, I can't tell you how that may come down to some difficult times ahead for us with everything that's happening in our culture. You know, we are heading into some very, very interesting, tough waters in the next months or so because of just some of the things that are going to be happening in American culture. Some of the cultures in our world today are already going through this, so we're catching up. But I want you to know that it's time to take serious about your Christian faith. Who is Jesus? Is he the Son of God? And indeed he is. He declared himself to be Yahweh. Again, he declared himself God in John chapter 8:58. Now, let me just rehash what was going on there. John chapter 8's before the crucifixion, obviously. But they were challenging Jesus about who he claimed to be and what Jesus was telling them what they were. They were claiming to be children of Abraham, and Jesus spun it on them, and he said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And one of them said, "You're not even 40 years old, and you say that you have seen Abraham." And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And he used the word ego, I me, two words, the verbal state of being and a pronoun, ego. Ego is I. And I, me, is I am. So I, even I am. Just as God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai when Moses asked, "Who shall I say sent me?" You see, Jesus used the term Son of Man. And Son of Man is referring to the Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days was mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 22, where Jesus said that you'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. That's how Jesus is going to return. He calls himself the first and the last in the Revelation. You see, Jesus' followers understood his claims. They understood his claims to divinity, and they also called him Yahweh. In Matthew 16, they're at Capernaum. Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And some of them said, "Maybe Elijah, one of the prophets." Jesus turns it a little bit more and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter blurts out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Peter, blessed are you, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, our Catholic friends mix this up, and they say that Peter is the Pope, because Peter's name means rock, and all of that. That's totally missing the point. totally missing the point. The rock is Petra, which is a neutral noun or neuter noun, and it refers to the declaration that Peter made that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is not built on Peter. The church is built on the pillar that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the only one with whom we have to do as Christians. That's who Jesus is. He is God in human flesh, and he is the Son of God and the Son of man. You remember when he was on the cross? I was sharing this on Discord with somebody the other day. And that is the fact that when Jesus was dying, he says, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is Psalm 22. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see Jesus, the man, asking that question. And then you see his humiliation with thirsting, and the statements that he makes even to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Even the thief on the cross who said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. But then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You see, the God-man as God ending his life, because he said, no one takes my life away from me. I give it up on my own accord. So who is he? He is God in human flesh. He is God in human flesh. Classical scholar and historian Colin Hemmer identified 84 more facts in Acts chapter 13 through 28 that have confirmation about the fields of history, archaeology, and geology, and sociology, as far as even things about Jesus. But Jesus' followers understood his claims to divinity, and they also called him Yahweh in many places. For example, John writes in John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning is the Word was with God, the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in all his glory as one from the only Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who is the Word? The Word is God. The Word was God, the Word is God, in the beginning was the Word was God, is God. And then it says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? That's Jesus. Fully God, fully man, as the Athanasian Creed says. He says that Jesus created everything that has ever been made in John chapter 1, verse 3. Yet Yahweh says he alone created everything in Isaiah 44, verse 24. The Apostle Paul called Jesus God in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, and Colossians 2, verse 9. Referring to Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, quoting Joel 2, verse 32, and Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This verse clearly says to call on the name of Yahweh. But who is that? That's Jesus. And see, the earliest Christians understood the Jesus's divine identity. Pliny, a pagan governor of Bithynia, known as modern Turkey today, during the early second century, condemned Christians for offering worship to Jesus as if to a god. Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, also was martyred around AD 107 and 110, said that Jesus is the mind of the Father, properly called our God. And from this sampling, it is clear that Jesus was understood to be God. So folks, our key takeaway is this. Jesus clearly identified himself as God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, in both word and deed, such that his first century audience wanted to stone him. And the original apostles also identified Jesus as God, and the earliest Christians understood Jesus' divine identity and worshiped Jesus as such. So let me ask you a question. There are many people today who are apathetic about Christianity because they've been hurt by the church. And I get it. They've been hurt by the church. But you know what? The church is not Jesus. The institution of the church is not Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the church will come under assault of the gates of hell, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the church today is being invaded by all kinds of crazy theologies today. The New Apostolic Reformation, Oneness Pentecostalism, Prosperity Gospel. Folks, those groups have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. But you're not going to get false teaching on this podcast. I'm going to tell you who Jesus is, and next week I'm going to talk to you about the resurrection of Jesus, because the resurrection of Jesus is the capstone of the Christian faith. But to you, who is Jesus? Because one day, my friend, whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, you're going to have to stand before him and give an account of your life. And what have you done with him? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Have you placed your full faith and trust in him for your eternity? That's all that matters. Have you trusted him and followed him as your Lord and your Savior and given your life and made yourself a disciple of his? You know, one of the podcasts that I did not too long ago was, what is a Christian? That's what a Christian is, one who is committed to following Jesus in full faith and trust in him. Have you done that? I pray that you have. And if you have any questions, please email me at roblundberg315@gmail.com. If you have any questions about anything that you've heard on this episode today, I would love to interact with you. If you would, please subscribe and tell others about this podcast, as we are trying to get the word out. We're trying to build our audience, and you would be a great help for that. We would love for you to be team up with us. If you would love to be able to help support us, your clicking on gives us a little bit, but if you go to our website and help us, you can do that by clicking on our donate link, and that'll help us as well. We are trying to get the software needed where we can have some really more professionally done type recordings on podcasts for both audio and video. So if you make that a matter of prayer, if you'd like to help contribute to that, you can go to our website at roblundberg.org and click on the donate link, and you can help us with that as well. So until next week, I guess I'll wrap it up here. Next week, we're going to talk about the resurrection. You know, the fact that Jesus actually prophesied his resurrection, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about Jesus dying for our sins according to the scriptures and being buried and being risen from the dead according to the scriptures. That is the crux of the gospel. And if you have not listened to the gospel, let me invite you to go and look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as you read those gospels, I want you to pray and ask Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to show you who he is. And if he does that, you follow him in discipleship. If you can do that, if you'll do that, let us know about it. Email us at roblundberg315@gmail.com. So until next week, This is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast. We'll talk to you next week as you go out and give them heaven. And we'll be back with you next week. Lord bless.